The last couple of weeks, as I've been preparing for the message today, I've been seeing it and feeling it evolve through my own studies and thoughts, and I realized two or three times along the way that there was a message that I needed for myself, and I was focusing on the direction that I needed to study and understand, and then I get three quarters of the way through and I realize, this is not what all of the members need. They need something that is relevant to them. But I wanted it to be related to what I was studying for myself. And so I settled on something that felt good last night and feels good now. I'd like to give you some words of hope and love and faith that God has given to us in the scriptures. One night about 3,953 years ago, the Lord came to Abram in a vision, and I'm going to use the word, the name that was changed, and it's used in the New Testament referring to the same evening as Abraham. He came to Abraham in a vision saying, "Do not be afraid." An amazing conversation followed. And this was before Ishmael was born, and about 14 years before Isaac was born, one of the most significant evenings recorded in the scriptures and mentioned several times throughout the Old and the New Testament. Abraham was about 85 or 86 years old when this occurred, and we can find the account of it in Genesis chapter 15, and verses 1 through 6. God had brought him outside and told him to look toward the heaven to count the stars. We see this as it develops. Verse 1, after those things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abraham said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and an heir of my house and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." You know, this is the first recorded words of prayer, a question from someone to God himself, and that I could find in the scriptures. Abraham is asking, "What will you give me?" And it's something that is very interesting because God answered that very, very clearly. And then Abraham said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." He and Sarah had been married for a good long while by this time and were childless. And as he said, it was one of the servant children born in their household who was his heir. In verse 4, "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This one shall not be your heir, but one will come from your own body shall be your heir.' And then he brought him outside and said," this is one of those times where I really kind of put myself in the conversation here and put myself in the setting. "You go out on a dark, clear night, and as God said to him, 'Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.'" And God began to encourage him, to give him promises of a future for his family that would go on and on and never end. And he believed in the Lord. That verse, this verse, chapter 15, verse 6, is so incredibly important. If you want to look in the Bible and say, what is milk and what is meat, you would eventually realize and come to the point of view, because we'll see this as it develops. This is one of the meatiest verses in all the Bible. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Such a great thing. We see that Abraham believed. And this is the main point of the message, brethren, that I want to convey to you today, to encourage your faith. My faith has been encouraged the last week as I've been going through these things, and to see it in his word again, in the word of God, about faith and about believing, about that we can really trust him. I want to encourage you in the best way I know to show some of the examples in God's word of faithful people. And this simple statement that Abraham believed, that he had faith, it's referenced in other passages of scripture. It's one of the most important examples of faith in all the Bible, right there, what happened that evening. And we see also then the fruits of God's work producing the results of the faith that was expressed. Some of what the Lord said that night was prophetic of what would happen to the descendants of Abraham over the next four centuries. And here, the man had no children at the time when this was given, but he began to hear that he would have children of his own, and that there would be a great nation that would come from them. These are things that God expressed to him several times, but it begins in this chapter. In verse 13 and 14, he speaks of those descendants and some of the things that would be happening to them. Then he said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. Also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions." And so God began to tell him of what would happen in those next four centuries. It would be very, very difficult for some of the descendants of Abraham, but they would make it through, and God would be there, and they would bring them out with great possessions. This passage is one of the earliest references to what would later be known as the Passover and the Exodus, and I chose this example because it relates to that time period and that important part of the history that God has preserved for us in the scriptures. It's so important. It's such a foundational part of God's truth that the events of that night when God revealed this vision to Abraham are mentioned many more times. It is truly something for us to pay attention to. God had told Abraham that life would be very hard for his descendants, but that he would keep his promise to give them the land that he had told Abraham would be theirs. And other promises were added in other chapters of Genesis as well. The lessons and examples of faith in the people of those next 400 years are still relevant to us today, especially as we approach the time of Passover this year. And so here in this one chapter, we have Abraham's faith, and we have the promise and the prophecies of what would happen to his descendants in those years to come. Some of us are going through very difficult trials. This is one reason I wanted to bring this message today. We heard of others who are going through difficult trials in that first message. Well, some of us are too. Some of our members and some family members of our members are facing really difficult trials. And what will get us through? Faith. Believing. I wanted to bring these examples today because last week it's helped me to be settled again in my faith and helped me to be encouraged, and I hope that you will find it encouraging as we go through these four examples listed here, and then as we see it explored in the book of Exodus. Four examples, all connected to what is written in Genesis chapter 15. First of all, Abraham himself. It was on that night that God began more directly revealing the spiritual promises and the elements of the truth that we now believe. If you start listing our beliefs and you can see them coming and God revealing them to Abraham on these occasions when he gave him these covenants, that still means so much and predicted the coming of the Messiah and the saving, not just of the nation, but of the world. In Romans chapter 4, and I wanted to show you this in the sense that we could read it in the book of Genesis, and it's historical, and we could say that was interesting and good for them. It's still good. It is still important. It's still necessary for us, and it's still part of God's word in the new covenant era of his people. We find it in Romans 4, verse 3. And today, as we go through these, I want to show you in these examples how God carried the promises and the details of those things from that night he spoke with Abraham into the New Testament. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." Here the Apostle Paul is inspired to speak of the words that Moses wrote as the scriptures, the holy word of God, and it tells us exactly what was there. Abraham believed God. That's what was accounted to him for righteousness. You know, in the context of Romans, we'll read some in Galatians and Hebrews as well. In the context there are other issues being discussed too. I just want to pick up these today that refer us to the faith of Abraham and to how he was able to believe and to know and how his descendants were able to endure the things that came on them. He had faith. In verse 9, it says, does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only? It's a question in the context of what Paul was writing about the law and grace, about Israelites and Gentiles all learning and growing together to be the people of God. And so we can deal with those things at another time, but look what he says. "For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness." That's what we all need, faith, to believe. And it's such a foundational thing to understand and to know. And it seems so simple, but it's so rare in this world to be able to say, they believe. Most people of the world do not, but we are so blessed to be able to believe. As those Paul was writing to in Rome were able to believe as well. This was some 14 years before the covenant of circumcision. Abraham was 14 years yet before he was given that covenant. And so here he is considered by God to be a righteous man. He was considered because he believed, not because he did great works to help make himself worthy. He believed, and God respected that and counted him worthy. There's some very spiritual meaning of this kind of faith as revealed in this same chapter. Look in verse 13. "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to a seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." There's such a great blessing that comes through faith. The promise that God gave to him, he would be heir to the world. Brethren, we have the same kind of promise that God gives us to be part of that family that will be blessing the whole world, the heir of the world. We will be co-inheritors with Abraham, with God, with Christ, co-heirs with him, it says. In verse 16, it says, "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace." You see how important it is when it says Abraham believed? Brethren, this is what we need, every one of us, to really, truly have that kind of faith. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace. We need that grace. Abraham needed it. His descendants still do. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, not only to those who are of the descendants of the physical nation, but to the many others who God was calling by this time, and Paul was writing about them and to them, but also for those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. When we say that Abraham believed, we need to be able to say, and so do we. We believe the same things that Abraham believed, that God exists, that he would send his seed in whom all the families of the earth would be blessed. And Abraham began to see and realize these amazing promises of God. I want to read the rest of this chapter, because then we see here some application to us in the new covenant time of God's working with his people. In verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. And you see how often God goes back to those conversations he had with Abraham. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, as I read through these next few verses, think of your life and your loved ones and those who you would want to see blessed in this way. Your mothers, your fathers, your children, your husbands and wives, the God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. See, this is the kind of faith that Abraham had and the kind of faith that we can have. And I know that many of us do. But I also know that we are to be strengthened in our faith. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, the deadness of Sarah's womb. These promises of a descendant to come from his own body and from hers was something he believed. God told him, and he just said, okay, I believe. And he did. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. This is such a beautiful expounding of what strong faith is, what I need, what I want to encourage for each of you too. Not to waver at the promise of God. Think of what he's promised you. Think of your children, and what you want for them, and hope for them, and believe God will provide for them. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. This is what faith is. This is strong faith. This is such a wonderful description of that. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. See, it goes back to Genesis 15. It goes all the way back, and that becomes, over and over, one of the most important examples of faith in all of the Scripture. He simply believed. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. This is the message we need, to be able to have that unwavering faith. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. It shall be. We believe as Abraham believed, and God's promise is sure for us as it was for him. Speaking of Jesus, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. You see how in the context of this, it brings it to Passover. And it brings it to what happened in those 3 days after in the resurrection. It's the same kind of time period as when he was talking to Abraham. This application of this truth is so important. It can be found again in Galatians chapter 3. And I want to spend this time on Abraham because it's his faith that is shown over and over as the example. And we saw in Genesis 15 when it was first pointed out to us. In Galatians 3, verse 5 through 7, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, and we can think of what is he supplying for us? What kind of miracles is he working for us? Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? When God blesses us and performs a miracle, when he heals one of our children, when he heals one of the members who is sick, does he do it because they did something wonderful and heroic and proved that they were worthy? Or does he do it because of faith? They believe. It's pointing it out that it's just as Abraham. See in verse 6? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and many, many miracles flowed from that over the lifetime of Abraham, but also continuing to us. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And verse 8, and the scripture, look what the scripture is pointed out as saying to us. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith. How did he justify Abraham? By faith. He's justifying the nations by faith. He preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. And Genesis 15 applies to us then, doesn't it? Directly. The same God who blessed Abraham is there to bless us. We can be so very grateful for that. This was so even when the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. In that chapter in Genesis 15, he spoke of those things that they would be enduring. Let's look a little into that and let's see what he said. God told Abraham in Genesis 15 that his descendants would be afflicted, and they were. And that's another reason that I chose this chapter, because the narrative moves into the events leading up to the Passover and to the Exodus, but there's direct application to us as well. The trials they faced in Egypt. Let's look in Exodus chapter 1. And I know that we live in a different time period and our trials are different than theirs, but faith is the subject. The faith that is shown here in how these people endured those trials, how we will be able to endure the trials we face. In Exodus 1, verse 11 through 13, therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. I'm just breaking into the story, which you can read in more depth if you want in the fullness of the chapter. Most of us know these, but I want to bring the points out about faith. They set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And think about what that would be like with someone forcing you to work and forcing you to do heavy work as they were. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithon and Ramses, and others as well. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Because God was with them, and God had promised Abraham that they would come out of that affliction, and they would come out with great possessions. And he was beginning here in this early part of the book of Exodus to bring that about. And they were in dread of the children of Israel, and so the Egyptians began to see they're growing so much, they're multiplying, they're going to be an enemy within our gates. In verse 14, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. And all their service in which they made them was with rigor. It was very hard, very difficult. Now their affliction in this case was mostly in the sense of labor and hard work and long hours and isolation from their families as they had to go and to build these cities that the Pharaoh wanted. You've probably seen pictures of some of those great Egyptian monuments and buildings that still exist. They were made to serve with harsh treatment. But sometimes we have difficult trials too. Sometimes what we face is very hard and stressful. And so we can see the relevance here. Sometimes when we have to serve, we have to keep that faith in mind. When we serve with hard rigor, when we endure long trials. And some go on for years. There are some among us who have been fighting health issues that are debilitating, keeping them from attending Sabbath services for years at a time, or even coming once a year just for Passover. We're trying to arrange that for some of our members, to give them the blessing of being able to come. Some of the things that people have to endure are very difficult. Some of us and some of our families are fighting for our lives. It's difficult, and God knew that. But God was with them. Notice some of these things that develop. Verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Sifra and the name of the other Puah. Two very special ladies. Of all the midwives there, there must have been many of them. These two were probably the leaders, the ones who organized it for the whole group of the children of Israel. They weren't yet a nation. They became a nation later. Shifra and Puah. I look forward to meeting them someday and talking with them. To the degree that they could and were able, they were women of faith. You can see that, and God appreciated what they did. Verse 16, and he said, Pharaoh talking to them, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, then she shall live. Can you imagine the emotion of the husbands and wives, the fathers and mothers, the brothers and sisters of those babies who would be born? Can you imagine what the midwives were faced with? And this wasn't just like a recommendation. This was an order. This was something that they would typically have had to do, and if they didn't, there would have been consequences for them. But look, the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. I don't think we're talking about just a few. I think we're talking about many, many people, because when Israel came out of Egypt, about 80 years after this, there are over 600,000 men. There was a large group of people. And so what we're reading here would have affected all of the families of the Israelites. Stephen recorded this. You see, that event is in the New Testament too. Hold your place here and turn next to Acts chapter 7. We see here God working through the midwives to help the people that they served. In Acts 7, verse 17 through 19, "But when the time of the promise drew near, which God has sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt." God was with them, and they were multiplying. They were growing in vast numbers, till another king arose who did not know Joseph. That's in those first years of those four centuries. "This man dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies," that is, to expose them to perish, "so that they might not live." We see that it's part of what God inspired Stephen to speak of. The church was new and expanding, and there was opposition and persecution, and what is the subject that comes up? The history of God saving his people out of Israel, and the mention of the midwives and the saving of those children. The midwives feared God. There's a spiritual principle that you could read, just jot down Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, where it says we ought to obey God rather than men. The midwives obeyed God rather than the Pharaoh, at risk of whatever their punishment might have been, even to death. They obeyed God. There's a spiritual truth about this as well. In verse 20, back in Exodus chapter 1, "Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty." And so God was there with them, protecting those newborn boys, protecting their families. Every time that happened, what a blessing that would have been to the mother, to the father, the midwives, knowing that they were serving as best they could in a very difficult situation. God dealt well with them. And so it was because the midwives feared God. They had enough faith. Maybe they didn't know everything Abraham did. Maybe they didn't know everything that you know. But they believed God, and they feared God, and he provided households or families for them. He saw them through that difficult trial that they were in. He speaks here more directly of the midwives than of the parents, because they were helping numerous people and not just their own household. But it goes on, verse 22. "So Pharaoh commanded all his people." Now he moves away from the midwives, and now he goes to his people, saying, "Every son who is born, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." So it got worse. This affliction grew magnitudes worse than it was before, because now it was the Egyptians who would be trying to make sure that this happened, that the newborn Israelites would be thrown into the river. You can only imagine what that was like, how many babies were killed, the anguish of the parents. But we do see that even then, people had faith. And by faith, they did heroic things that are mentioned in God's word in the New Testament. And God blessed his people. And we can show our faith by helping others, even when we need to stand up in the face of consequences for doing what is right. You see someone around you who needs help, and they're there and helpless. If you can, stand up and help them. Do what's right. If it means that you have to take some consequences, brethren, sometimes we do. But that's okay, because the promise is for the future. And the midwives are a good example of that. It goes right into Exodus 2 to another wonderful example of faith, the parents of Moses. These are all things that are here for us, and as we come nearer and nearer the time of the Passover, these things become more focused on the reason for Passover. And that first Passover was in a time period when it was so very difficult. Sometimes we look at Passover as it's going to be on Monday evening at 8 o'clock and we'll be there on time, and it's sort of easy for us. It wasn't back then. That first one was a very, very stressful time. As it was building up to that, we come to the birth of Moses. In Exodus 2 and verse 1, "And a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife of the daughter of Levi." These people are named later Amram and Jochebed. In Numbers 26, they're named. These are people whose faith sets them apart from most other people in the Old Testament time. These were mentioned in the book of Hebrews. What they did was such a remarkable thing, a heroic act of faith. Here in Exodus 2 and now verse 2 through 4, "So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And a sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him." There's so much more of that story that you may know. Certainly something to teach your children. It was at this time that Moses was born. Look in Acts chapter 7. Again, Stephen was inspired as he was defending his faith before a very hostile group of people. In Acts 7 and verse 20, "At this time, Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. His father kept him there, protected him. His mother watched over him. They loved him. They saw that he was a beautiful child. They didn't want him to die. They did everything they could. For 3 months, they kept him alive and hidden and able then to survive what would have been certain death. In Hebrews 11, we speak of great acts of faith. In this chapter, we see some of the most profound and significant acts of faith in the history of mankind. And God chose these examples so that we could have the encouragement that our faith can be strong too. Hebrews 11 and verse 23. "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents." What a great example of faith. What a great example of love and of being able to do what is right, because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. They knew even if they had to die, it was worth it to try to keep their son alive, to keep him from being killed. It was an act of faith. By faith, it says, they did this. When we speak of Abraham believed, was accounted to him for faith, we see and know that he passed that faith on to his son Isaac, and Isaac passed it on to Jacob, and Jacob passed it on to Joseph, and Joseph and others passed it on to those who lived in those 400 years. And there was enough truth left there among them that they knew these things, and they lived by them, and they lived according to God's word and law. And they had the faith to do these things. When I read Hebrews 11, and I read these names, and I see what's at the end of that chapter where it says these were They died in the faith, not having received the promise, but something better for us, that they would not be made perfect apart from us. These are people who will be in the first resurrection. These are people who God tells us had such faith that we can look at their examples and follow in that kind of faith ourselves. Moses' parents, they did something remarkable. Let's talk about Moses himself. Some 40 years after he was born, in Exodus 2, verse 11 through 15, Exodus 2, verse 11. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And so he did something that he thought was right, and he did something of his own will. And it might not have been exactly as God would have had him do it this time. He believed, but he was doing something in his own way too here. And so he looked this way and that, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to the one who did the wrong, "Why are you striking your companion?" And then he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. And it goes on for some of the story there. This is also referenced by Stephen in Acts 7. In verse 23, it says, "But when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel." At this point, he had faith. He knew he was a Hebrew. He rejected being an Egyptian, and he wanted to be part of the lineage of Abraham, as he had grown up not really understanding and knowing that, but when he became old enough, he realized these things. You can see God's work developing in his own heart and mind. In Acts 7, verse 24, "And seeing one of them who suffered wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian." I'm just referencing that again. These things migrate from the Old to the New Testament by inspiration of God to teach us great lessons. Verse 25, "For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand." But they did not understand that. See, Moses knew they would be delivered. The timing was off, and his method was wrong. He didn't know exactly how God was going to do this. And so we see that as it develops in Acts chapter 7. In verse 29 of Acts 7, "Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a sojourner in the land of Midian, where he had two sons." God reckons even that as an example of Moses' faith. Look in Hebrews 11. I'm taking the time to show you in Acts and Hebrews and Romans, Galatians, these things to help emphasize how important they are to us, these examples that we have. In Hebrews 11, verse 24 through 27, "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction." Now here we have some more details. We can see more into the heart and mind of Moses. We know it was his choice, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. He knew that by doing what he was doing, he would give up all that he could have had if he stayed in the position he was in Egypt. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Do you see that? The reproach of Christ? Moses somehow knew enough to know that this was connected to the Christ, to the Messiah, to the one promised to Abraham who would come and save his people. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, and this progresses that the next 40 years then, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured in faith. He believed as Abraham had before. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. How do we get through our difficult times? The same way. We see him. We look to those things which are invisible. We keep our eyes focused on Christ, looking up where he sits at the right hand of God the Father. We see these kind of things. We have our faith in the same direction, in the same kind of faith as we see here of Moses. I'm going to go on the next verse here too. It says, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. We knew that God was protecting their firstborn at that time as well. You know, in those 80 years, from the time of Moses' birth to that Passover, there's no mention in the scripture of the lifting of that order to kill the newborn sons. It could have been going on that entire time. It probably was. It was very hard. But then we have the Passover, and then we have that lamb that was slain in every house. Every husband, every father, every mother, every child, in every house of the children of Israel was the Passover lamb, and that blood put on the door, and they were protected, and they were guided, and their faith began to turn to God. Some among them we've been reading had that faith already. But every household began to see they were being saved by the God of Abraham. The way that he would work great miracles, God was working to deliver them and to help them. There's so much more to this story, brethren. There's so much that I hope you will read those accounts between now and Passover, the days of unleavened bread, and think about these things and realize that we have the same blessing of believing as Abraham did, as the midwives, as Moses' parents, as Moses did, and others after, and on down to us. There's a verse, a passage in Luke that speaks of something so very similar. That first Passover simply foreshadowed the greater Passover to come. There would be another prophet like Moses. There would be another who would come to save his people. In Luke chapter 1, we can close with this passage. In Luke 1, beginning in verse 68, this is Zacharias' prophecy. He had been mute all the time of Elizabeth's pregnancy and now was able, at the birth of John, to speak. And God inspired him to give a prophecy. This speaks of these same things. beginning of verse 68, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." And this was the time of John's birth, and what Zacharias was speaking was something that would develop over the next 33 or 4 years and go on forever after. He has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, including Abraham, including Moses, that we should be saved from our enemies. The same promise that God gave Abraham, that he would save his people from their enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. We can believe these things. We can understand that they now apply to Jesus Christ and his work to save us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham. It goes back to that time, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. That's the promise that God gave to Abraham. It went so much further than just redeeming his people 400 years later out of the bondage to another nation. It reached so that the grace of God, through faith in that grace, the world can be saved, and we can be saved. Brethren, to me, these things help me to be settled, and all the little problems that seem to come and nag at my mind and my heart, I can put aside, and I can say, no matter how hard it gets, or what we have to endure, it can be through faith that we believe we can be saved by God. I bowed my knees this morning and prayed that this message would help you to be strengthened in your faith too.